Welcome back. Another week on the podcast, and Curtis is still not on vacation. Don't be alarmed. He's still local. He's almost getting the car gassed up, ready to go.
We're preparing. We got two new tires on the car to make the trek out there. We got some puzzles and some games to do while we're there, because as before, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot going on, so we're preparing, though. It'll be next week.
All right, we're recording this on Saturday. We're going to take a look at Sunday's program, but we're right about post time for race number 9 of the Thoroughbred card here on Saturday, and Dad has a horse here going in the last race.
Yeah, he's drawn along the rail. He just gelded this horse. He said that he was wasn't really steady, but just kind of nervous acting, and he just claimed it for 30, dropped it in for 20, so hopefully we can get a little win here. You guys can check out the chart, see how we did.
Heading to the gate there for race number 9. For the daytime program at Los Al. Sunday night quarter horse program. We have an 8 race card featuring the Vandy / Handicap. We got 7 horses going to post there. The ultra sharp apolitical lady will be the 8-5 morning line favorite. The main threat could be Jessica Cartel on the outside, but we'll dive much more into that race once we get there. Let's kick off the card with race 1. 4 furlong thoroughbreds here. $3,500 is the maiden claiming price. We got a couple of Northern and Lacrosse Town Invaders.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like either of them?
I tried to get a little bit of a price here. I went with the 1.
I see that.
This horse ran second to my dad's horse last time, but I like this horse has been showing speed here. And as we always talk about, sometimes these horses need a race over the Los Alamitos surface, because the 2 looks very good. I was kind of going between the 1 and the 2, which one I would prefer, but I just thought the 1 almost got the victory last time. If she can clear the 2, and hopefully the 3 doesn't have enough late kick, we can get an affirmative strike home in the first.
You're going with the 1. I went with the Invader. I went with the 3. Carlos Gal, I think that's how you pronounce it, for Adam Kitchenman. I just thought she was close enough to this pace 2 starts back across Santa Anita that maybe that speed could translate towards the nighttime oval. But I agree, it's not as easy of a field as you would think on paper. I haven't finalized my pick 4 ticket, but as far as my top 3, 2, 1, I think the race is between those 3. I would be very, very surprised if either the 4, the 5, or the 6 pulls up the upset.
Yeah, I went all inside as well, just different order, 1, 2, 3. Art Sherman takes over the training duties here on the 2. The Golden Gate horses have been doing well coming down here, which, you know, it hasn't always been the case in the past, but they've been firing, so definitely look for a big effort out of the 2.
Actually, one of the locks of the night last weekend was a Golden Gate shipper. What was the trainer? Was it Baker?
God, I have the name right on
Caliente the... Shuffle.
Yes,
Caliente Shuffle.
Yes,
wait,
I knew
it was a shuffle?
Yeah, Caliente Shuffle.
Okay.
Yeah. Like they always talk about behind the gate, but that horse came in and got the lock home for you.
Yeah, I got the job done, was able to make the lead. It wasn't an easy victory, but it was nonetheless got the job done. By the way, shout out to Professor G. He was kind enough to let us borrow his office to make it into our makeshift podcast studio for this week.
Yeah, not only is there a pretty good crowd in the press box, there's a pretty good crowd in the grandstand as well.
Yes.
So we had to go where we can have a little quieter spot. So we're just kind of moving up here. We go from press box to the VIP room, now to administrative offices.
Yes, so we're moving on up. And shout out to Lumpy. I think we're up to like 7 listeners now. With
terrific.
Lumpy. I mean, Lumpy, every week he comes through. He's like, hey, is the podcast coming out? And we're recording this just a day later for Sunday's card.
Yeah, he got another person to listen to the podcast, and he seemed pretty happy with the results. I think we did pretty well last week. So, you know, we just like doing it for the love of Los Al. So just keep on telling everybody and try and make you guys some money.
Yeah, if you've got a sponsor out there that want to sponsor us, let us know.
Yeah.
Put them in contact with us. Well, we could use a few bucks to buy some Jack in the Box tacos after the races.
Definitely.
Shout out to the big poster of Wave Carver there on the wall.
That's bringing back
that
memories.
Back memories.
And then especially last Sunday with Waver
down
again. I heard you were screaming and shouting on the set.
I lost my voice when we came back after to do post race comments. If you noticed, my voice was off. It was because I was cheering on Waver Down, who lived up to her breeding and got the job done.
Yep, that breeding's definitely been good to Los Al. And Cody came in to ride. Familiar connections there. Cody and Paul, once again, take the Ed Burke Million.
And race two, 4.5 furlongs here. Thoroughbreds, conditional claimers. Tricky race to figure out. I'll let you go first on this one. Who did you pick?
You know, I didn't think there was an abundance of speed in here. And I think if you just ignore the last race of the six, All for Charity, who we had been on the previous three races for Bill Hoberg there. Now, first time off the claim for Justin Clark, who does very well with new acquisitions. I think this horse should be the speed of the speed, or at least sit off somebody who happens to go to the front. And just if you draw a line through that last one, I think it's pretty sharp, racing in good form. Edgar Pierres hops aboard, and you get the weight break here. So I look for the six to run a big race.
All right. So I do believe Alpha Charity was also entered on Saturday night's program.
Yes.
We'll see where she actually races. So this is going to change a little bit depending on where she goes, because I did like her on Saturday's program, and I'm automatically assume she's going to run on Saturday. So without accounting for her, I do respect her. I do think she's a good horse. So I'm going to handicap this race, thinking that she's not in the race.
Okay.
So I picked the 5, Mama Secret Storm, who I think probably has some old speed that she can flash in this field. This field is lacking a lot of speed. I've been pretty keen on Ultimate Game. She's let me down the last two starts. I'm not going to go up tonight. I'm going to use her. I'm not going to pick her on top, but I'm probably going to go at least 2 deep.
Okay.
So 5-2. And then for third, I think Saliana, the 3, Efra Hernandez, can pick up the pieces. If maybe the cheap speed in the front end caves in. She's been pretty consistent in the last few starts. Efra Hernandez stays aboard for the second consecutive time. So I think it's a tricky race. It's all about whether six enters or not.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm going to handicap like she raced on Saturday. So I'll go 5-2-3.
I went 6-5-4. I threw the 4 Ramona Lover in at the third spot. I thought should have won 2 outs back and then came back at the 870 level and was closing and got up that time. The time wasn't great, but stretches back out to 4.5 furlongs. So if this horse can stay close enough and pounce in the stretch, should be there.
All right, so race 2 there. Recap, I'll go 5-2-3?
6-5-4.
All right. Race number 3 on this 8-race program. The pick 6 begins right here. Field of 6. 4.5 thoroughbreds. Claiming price is going to be $4,000. Conditional claimers. And I'm going to give another shot to the 1, Can Be LA. Those 2 wins, 2 and 3 starts back, were too sharp to ignore. Last time out, he got off slow and completely lost all chance to run a better race. With a clean start, I think he's the best horse in the field. But speaking of that, if she makes any kind of bobbles, any kind of mistakes from the inside post, she's going to be completely overtaken by, I think, the 2. I think the 2 can show speed and take control if the 1 doesn't break all that well. Other than that, a few runners can pick up the pieces. Maybe the 5 Adrosa Sky will probably be my third choice. Was claimed 2 starts back. Came back and finished 4th behind Hot Bob, who returned to win next time out. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Hot Bob. He's been the lock of the night twice in a row.
Yeah.
He's won twice in a row. So hopefully he's not the morning line favorite next time out. It'll probably make him the lock again. But tricky race. It's all about whether the 1 breaks. So I'll go 1-2-5.
I went just a little different order. I went 5-1-2.
Okay.
The 5, I think, can get a nice stalking trip behind the 1 and the 2, who just are really fast horses. They might burn each other out. And I think Adrosa Sky can sit the trip and get a nice closing kick there. Gets Kelly McDade again in that weight break. And like you said, was just 2.5 behind Hot Bob, who seems to be in pretty sharp form right now. So I'm thinking if the 5 can just sit behind in the 1 and 2, yeah, I can tire a little. She'll be there.
All right, so I'll go 1-2-5. You'll go
5-1-2.
And shout out to Kelly McDade. She's won 2 races thus far over the daytime award. Both long shots. 40-1 today on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say 15-1. Yes, 20-1 last on Friday.
Yeah, I think it was. And we had the horse. She was riding for my dad the next race, and she came up and. My dad said, "Wow, that was a great race." And she just goes, "Yeah, can you believe it?" Like she was still in shock. Yeah. She gets really happy when she wins. I mean, she's still bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to the game. So I always like when I interact with her down there. She's always happy.
And I think Ed Berger is going to have her as a pre-race seminar guest, I want to say, probably Sunday. I think today. Yeah. If you're listening to this today, tune in to the simulcast during the daytime. I think Ed Berger is going to have Kelly McDade, so you can get to know her a little bit better. All right, race four, the start of the mid-card double. Field of eight, we start the quarter horse portion of the program. And we talked a little bit beforehand. We did not share selections. We usually never do. We really like to bounce off as when we're recording, because it's a little bit more, off the top of the head, and we tend to bounce ideas a little bit more. So I thought it was a very competitive sequence from here on out.
Yes.
So I'm very interested to see what you like. So I'll let you go first here in race four, 300 yards, quarter horses, maidens.
I went to the number five horse, first to separate for Mark Skeen. He's hitting at 30% right now, so he's always spotting his horses really well. I just look at the debut effort on this horse. Wasn't really bet that well, but only finished a length and a quarter behind Waver Down.
Yes.
And was actually broke well and was in front for a little bit. Went 1591. You know, that's not a terrible time, but, you know, I definitely would like to see some improvement. Came back in the Futurity trial against BF Farmhand and won Barry, and just didn't break at all. So that happens in Futurity trials. You're just done. But drops back into a maiden race here. So just with a clean start, I think can be there.
I agree with first to separate. I have her as my second choice. Pretty much everything you said is pretty much what I had looked and analyzed for this horse. Just that third on debut behind Waver Down, who just came back to win the Ed Burke Speaks Volumes. I picked the one on top, Santa Monica MB. This horse had pretty good works before the debut, but the habits have prevented this horse from running better. Lugged in, bore out, broke in. Draws the rail once again. Last time out, she'd have probably been, I don't know if she would have beat Capital Grill, but I know for sure it would have been a closer margin. So I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and see if she can improve a little bit more. Ayala jumps back and forth. So I'll go 1-5. For my third choice, I'll go to the three Mollies on fire for Jose Flores. Rodrigo Aceves takes the board. Worked after those two races in 12:30. I don't think we've seen the best of this horse. She gets off the rail. I think she can improve. So I'll go 1-5-3.
I went 5-1-2 up for a party in the two spot for James Glenn Jr. Kind of ran evenly after bumping at the start, but I thought in a field where there's not too much to go off of, I thought a pretty even effort, you can build off that.
Right. So recap, 1-5-3 for me?
5-1-2.
Right. Race 5, the start of the late pick 4. We got 300 yards, quarter horses, conditional claimers of $10,000. 3-year-olds, which have never won 2 races. And your morning line favorite is going to be Apolitical. No. Is it?
Richie Rich
is going to be your morning night favorite at 2-1 for Jorge Farias. And Rodrigo takes the board here, taking a drop in class. But right here is where I made my lock of the night. Can you guess it?
I mean, I think you have a history. It's got to be the 6, right?
Yeah, it's got to be the 6. Yeah. I thought he's been pretty consistent throughout his career.
Yeah.
I think he finally broke through, and he, I'm playing the light bulb angle here. He broke well from the outside post, showed speed, and got the job done. He was claimed by Sharp Connections. And when Valentin claims and he jumps up in class levels, 2, 3 levels, I like that.
Yeah.
He claimed for $6,250. He's going to bring him from $10,000, first time against winners. Draws the outside once again, just like he did last time out. He's seen the tremendous breeding there. So I think this horse, they expected a little bit more talent early on. But I think could be turning around the corner. So I'll go with the hot hand of Apolitical Bull, and I'll make that one my lock of the night.
I went with Apolitical Bull on top as well. All the things you said, Zamudi off the claim, draws the outside and gets Caesar aboard. I went for the other Zamudio in second, number 4, Running Jesse. I thought this horse had been running well at the $8,000 level and then the $10,000 level. Had to go against Cat 2 Storms in both starts and just had trouble coming out of the gate. So, as long as we can get a clean break here, another Zamudio one where he's raised it up. And it was competitive last time. You go back to Oscar Panado, Caesar jumps off this horse for the 6, but Panado's familiar with it. So, You know, if the six doesn't fire, maybe the other Zamudio can.
Yeah, other than the six, I don't have any other strong opinion underneath.
Yeah.
So not only was this a race that I like a horse, but also a race that I probably wasn't going to single in anyway. Mm-hmm. Because if the six doesn't win or the six wasn't in this race, it'll be a tough race for me to figure out and give the, someone else a strong opinion. So I have it as 6-3-4. I think the three with the class drop. With a better start, could make a little bit of noise here. The four, everything you said about the other Valentin Zamudio, you know, good thing to note, Oscar Peinado was aboard. This was the last time they won.
Yes.
So, you know, getting Oscar back aboard, it's not a bad thing, but noting that D'Alba jumps off this one to get off, mm-hmm. to get on Apolitical Bull, I think is a good indication. So I'll go 6-3-4, but the lock and night will be Apolitical Bull.
All right, I went 6-4-3.
All right. Hey, we kind of agree on that one. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see. Race 6, late pick 3 here. In this 8-race program, we got quarter horses going 300 yards, claiming price of $20,000. Two dimes here. Compact field of 5, but it was a tricky field of 5. Mm-hmm. I've chased a few of these runners before, but let me know. I want to hear who you like first.
I went to the 3, a legend in my time.
Yes.
I was going back and forth between the 3 and the 5, but I ended up on the 3, who I just think is really sharp right now and is a quick breaker who draws in between some horses who can be a little sketchy at the start. Rodrigo climbs back aboard. Yeah. You know, maybe we've seen him come back now, yeah. and he starts to get going again, yes. and he's back in his old ways, his old winning ways. I think going from Leonardo Gonzalez to Rodrigo is a big improvement. If he can just get back to his older ways. This horse had some trouble last time out. It was there against G.S. Wintermeyer and Rockin' Energy, who are some pretty good high-claiming horses. So as long as this horse can carry his gait speed, I think can be pretty tough.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said about the 3, a legend of my time. This horse that has broken on top in 4 out of the last 5 starts and has shown plenty of gait speed. And Rodrigo, you know, during his heyday, he was known as getting horse out of the gate.
Yes.
And that's how you win a lot of races. So we'll see what this horse can do. I have him as my second choice. I gave the check mark to the 5 horse on the outside. Still trying. I like that 12-10 workout since that last race. It's coming off the layoff. Moves to the barn of Jose Flores. Cruz Mendez jumps aboard. I just like the way this horse worked. Had some talent early on in his career. He's now a 4-year-old. And if you just look at the connections, I mean, at the horses this horse has faced, you know, Royalty's Authority, Marco Check, Ronquino. Duet with Fire, LD is back. Horses like that, there's none of that quality in here.
Yeah.
If he gets away cleanly, I think he's a horse to beat. So I'll go 5-3. And then AJ Santa Smoke is a back class of this field. You know, qualified to the Governor's Cup, was only 6-1 in that field, but tends to break a little bit slow. But tonight is adding the flipping halter, and I think that could help out. So I'll go 5-3-4.
Yeah, I went 3-5-4, just a little different order. I like the 5 because also Jose Flores double entered in here.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I think they really wanted to get a race for the 5. You know, hopefully that's it and not a race for the 1. But I don't think that's the case here. And just all signs, a point to the 5 being the entrant here for Flores. And the 4, former Futurity winner, she just needs to put it all together once again. Or maybe this horse will keep dropping down the ladder, but we got a lot of question marks on this horse. But it does get Caesar back aboard once again, who has ridden this horse to its best efforts. So maybe he can get back to its winning ways.
Do you think this horse can get claimed? This is the first time he's dropped for this low of a claiming tag.
Yeah, I think it was the only other time that it's claiming 50,000. Yeah. Nobody's going to give that much for this horse. You never know. Some people might reach in for this horse.
I mean, he's only 5 for 19 lifetime, but he's cashed almost $250,000 for just those 5 victories. So that tells you what kind of horse he was early on in his career. He picked up a few good checks there. So let's see if he can get back into the winning ways. So I'll go 5-3-4.
3-5-4.
Man, this might be another card where we do pretty good. We've been agreeing.
Yeah, we're just flip-flopping on some of them. We thought it was going to be all over the place.
I that's what I expected, but we'll see what we can do. Late double time here on Sunday night, 330 yards, race 7, an allowance, and a very good allowance field. Tricky race, field of 8. Morning line favorite is going to be the 8 horse. hard-headed chick on the outside. And she gets away, finally gets away from Apolitical Lady. Yes. Apolitical Lady is entering in race 8 to Vanity Slash. So that makes her the horse to beat. But do you think she's the horse to pick on top?
I went right to the outside.
No, we agree.
Wow. I went hard-headed chick.
Yeah.
I just like the this horse has been running against stakes company, like you said, mm-hmm. Apolitical Lady, and some of these other ones in here, Terrific Temptation and Firefly Joe. But I just love that this horse gets the outside. And I'm going to stick with Caesar here where he's going. Uh-huh. That's where I'm going to follow. He chose to ride this horse over the 4, Chowchilla Chickadee, who he's ridden in the past, and he's always in the Cooper barn. But this horse really likes the 300 to 350-yard distance. Like we said, draw the outside. Could be over right from the get-go for this horse.
I do think she's a horse to beat. I'm going to pick her on top as well for everything you just mentioned. And just getting away from Apolitical Lady is a big deal.
Yeah.
Drawing the outside, I think it's great also. And Cecil de Alba sticking here also speaks volumes. But I think the main threat is Chowchilla Chickadee. She stumbled badly last time out, lost all chance. When she's good, when she breaks cleanly, she's tough.
Yes.
I think 330 is probably could be her best distance, although she's only raced 1. But I think she has twice at this distance. But I think this could be her best distance. So I'm scared of her. I'll go 8-4. For third, I think Firefly Joe, coming off of a bit of layoffs in January, posted a nice 12-flat workout on the 12th of June. And that race 2 stars back won the Waymaker. That was a very visually impressive win. So I'll give that one a little bit of respect, but I do think Hard-Headed Chick is a horse to beat. So I'll go 8-4-6.
Yeah, I went 8-6-2. I thought Firefly Joe is a really good price at 5-1 for a horse that's won a handicap recently and has won some fraternity trials, has been off for a little bit of layoff and got a nice freshening, comes back and works 12 flat. So I put her in the second spot. The third spot, I went King of Appeals MV,
mm-hmm.
who I really don't like to win, but I think will definitely be there because they take the blinkers off. That might help, but I really like that this horse gets reunited with Ayala, who I think has like 3 wins. Let's see, 3 wins, 2 seconds, and 2 thirds.
Yes. I mean,
so I think the break is everything for this horse, and you get the best gate jockey we have again in Ayala. So pulling the blinkers off. Maybe can't get there for the win, but I think we'll definitely be there in your tries and supers.
King of Appeals is 3-1 on the morning night, your second choice. For some reason, I think King of Appeals might be a little bit overlooked. I think that one might go up, might go off right at that morning line or a little bit higher. I don't think she'll go lower, but I think if you like the 2, you'll probably get a very fair price on that one. Just because I think Yashira Vista is going to take some play. I think Firefly Joe probably takes some play because of that big number 2 starts back. And maybe even Chowchilla Chickadee, just because of the name and people recognize her. She might take some play. So wherever you go other than the 8 here, I think the price is going to be more than fair.
Yeah. We had a lot of high hopes for Yashira Vista, mm-hmm. who actually got the win last time. But I think this horse barely held on for the win. And so I wasn't really too impressed with her in that start. 7 was a former horse we gave out on the show, but I don't like that Ayala takes off and you get Erasmo Gasca because Ayala goes to the 2. So I'm just not going to throw this horse in. Plus the jump up in class for it, I think, might be too much for the 7.
Yeah, I'm scared of that 7 because that's a very solid time, 15:48.
Yeah.
Did it from the outside post. Now it's drawn 1 outside the favorite, 1 inside the favorite. So we'll see what kind of price that one gets. But if you liked that horse last time, I think it's worth a shot again here,
mm-hmm.
At 8-1. So recap, I'll go 8-4-6.
8-6-2.
All right. Man, I thought we were going to go different there. we're surprising ourselves there. All right, the featured event, the Vandy Splash Handicap, $25,000. We got 3-year-olds going 400 yards. Field of 7. I mean, and it's tough to pick against Apolitical Lady. She's as sharp as can be,
mm-hmm.
and she's won it easily. She's won the La Pacifica, La Primera, a Derby Trial, and Allowance, and then Juvenile all the way dating to December of 2017. 6-for-13 lifetime, 4 seconds, 2/3. You do the math, 12 out of 13 in the money finishes. She's already earned $237,000 plus. She's a horse to beat.
Yeah. Very different from the Christopher O'Dell horses we usually see, mm-hmm. who usually tend to break slow and finish strong. But, I mean, this horse is just professional altogether. She breaks out on top. She finishes. You know, definitely the best filling on the ground. I think right now, before we've seen Jay fire up.
Yep.
But right now, just super sharp. I don't think anyone can beat her. I went to the four, Just My Kiss, for second.
Okay.
You know, coming off a little bit of a layoff, just can't be really relied on for, you know, a great start. But, you know, we always see that strong late kick.
Yeah.
Ended up winning the the LA Winter Derby. Caesar gets back aboard, and Ramon Figueroa double entered here. Yeah. Put the one in. I think Just My Kiss can be pretty tough there in the second spot.
Just My Kiss had to hold off the huge closing kick of Yankee last time out, and just lasted there at 24-1. When can you get Caesar 24-1, right?
I mean, he always tends to win the big races. He does. I think he has become like our money rider.
Yeah, here. Yeah. He also ran a very good race in the Ed Burke Caesar with his horse. I forget the name of it right now, but I think his horse ran a big race there in the Ed Burke to get third or fourth, if I remember correctly. I have the four Just My Kiss is my third choice. My second choice is going to be the seven Jessica Cartel, who is a horse that packs a big, big late kick. I still have a little bit of a grudge against her because she beat me out of the very, very nice pick four two-star track. Remember when Summertime Favorite just had a lot of promise?
Yeah.
But then she kept drifting in, drifting out, costing herself that races?
Yeah.
Well, that day, two starts back in the autumn, Summertime Favorite drew the outside, and I was like, tonight's a night.
Yeah.
Tonight's a night. And she looked like a winner 100 yards out. And here comes Jessica Cartel to run her down and get the job done. So, but she's been sharp as can be, other than the debut. She's been there with four straight victories. She's been off for a while now. That concerns me a little bit. Mm-hmm. An 1850 workout back on the 16th of June to get her prepared for this. Get him prepared for this. So it's tough to see how well he's going to fire. But we both agree that the only filly in the field, Apolitical Lady, is the horse to beat. She's facing six boys. One lady is going to be the favorite. And I think she's a horse to beat. But I'll go with 6-7-4.
Yep, just a little different order, 6-4-7. I like that Jessica Cartel is drawn outside of a political lady, mm-hmm. instead of on the inside. I think that can help carry this horse further along instead of maybe a political lady breaking in and maybe taking the path of Jessica Cartel. But definitely going to be a challenge for class, even though this horse has won two stakes races here. I think going against a graded winner such as a political lady, we'll find out what Jessica Cartel is made of.
I do think this is a perfect case scenario for Jessica Cartel to beat a political lady, because we know a political lady likes to break on top.
Mm-hmm.
So if she breaks on top, then Jessica Cartel will have a clear path on the outside to run it down.
Exactly.
So if she would have been drawn along the inside, if the post would have been flipped, a political lady would probably be a cinch.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this post position gives Jessica Cartel a bit of a shot if she's sharp enough to get out cleanly and get into rhythm and then try to run down a political lady at this distance of 400 yards. So I do think there's a shot for the favorite to be upset, but we got to give her that respect. Five straight victories. She just looks like a horse to beat.
Yeah, I think this will probably be my single to end the night. Spread. If I'm playing a late pick four, I'm probably going to spread in the other races and try and catch some prices. And just single down to a political lady, and hopefully have a nice little payoff.
Yeah, so I made it a political bull my lock of the night, so I'll single there. I'll probably only go two deep in the nightcap, 6 and 7, and I'll spread in the middle two legs, see if we can catch a price, because I don't think a political bull will be the favorite. There's other runners that have been facing other fields there, so
especially just off the claim.
Yeah.
Maybe you can, if you don't think the horse will fire off the claim and with the step up in class, I think that if you wanted to play against that horse in that race, there's some other ones. But just throughout the card, it looks pretty competitive.
So I surprised myself. We actually agreed on a lot of races.
Yeah. We were walking up and we're like, okay, we can't have the same picks this time.
Yeah.
We went flip flop in most of them, but pretty happy. Usually, like as we said before, when that happens, the results are pretty good.
All right, so that's a quick and brief podcast. We clocked in right around 30 minutes, so that might be a new record.
That's fine. I got to go to work. Yeah, so you got to go to work.
Exactly. That's we're trying to speed through it because you got to go upstairs, grab the changes.
Yeah.
I got to go get ready on set, but that horse didn't do too well. I think ran mid-pack in the nightcap here at Los Al.
Yeah, I didn't even see it.
Yeah.
No need to look at the chart, everybody.
Don't look at the chart. It was evenly there down the stretch. So what's the itinerary? You're heading out in the morning?
Yeah, Monday. We're actually leaving Monday. And then we're going to come back Monday, but I think it's a 14-15 hour drive, and I don't know what's in store. We're gonna see her father again. I'm going to meet her grandma for the first time.
Okay.
So there's a couple family members out there. They own a farm or something up on a mountain.
Do they have animals?
Oh yeah, she's got horses and she's got goats. Nice. Apparently she has her own goat milk that she goes out and milks the goats. Nice. I'm a little out of my element out there. People always think I'm like a country boy because I tell them I'm in horse racing and stuff. But no, I'm born and raised in Los Alamitos. Yeah. So I need Wi-Fi and hopefully we can do the podcast out there. We'll try and get it done somehow.
When I was a kid, born in LA, then I did kindergarten a few years of elementary here. Then we actually went to live in Mexico for a few years after my grandparents died, passed away. So we went to Mexico. We lived a few years in Mexico. I think I went third, fourth, and fifth grade of elementary out there and then came back. But anyway, we went out there for a few years, lived a few years. My grandparents had animals and all kinds of cattle over there at the rancho. I used to... You know, go and milk some cows and drink milk straight
really?
From the cow. Yeah, when I was a kid, I was helping out my uncles.
Yeah.
We'd get out there in the morning and go milk a cow and grab milk. But now I can't picture myself doing it again. So it's definitely an experience. I was out in the country cutting alfalfa with my uncles.
Oh, gee. Yeah, you were the whole nine yards.
They have a farm with, they grow corn, alfalfa. I don't know what they grow now, my uncles, a few of my cousins out there. But back then, I remember I used to go help out, collect the alfalfa, cut it up. Actually, I fell off the back of a carriage. We had a burro. I remember we had a burro.
Yeah.
And I was in the back riding after cutting alfalfa. We had a big bump, and I fell, and I got home with like a bunch of scrapes and bumps.
Really?
My mom was like, I'm never letting you go out with your uncles again. So I remember that, but it's a whole different atmosphere. So
yeah,
if you have signal, send me some pictures.
I'll try. She says it's pretty beautiful out there, and I was speaking with one of the guys at TVG today, and he says, "Oh well, you know, you got to go through Utah and drive through there, and you know, it's pretty scenery out there. I guess there's Zion National Park, mm-hmm. which I've always kind of wanted to see.
Yeah.
You know, kind of the rock formations out there, but." You know, hopefully I can get through this.
All right, so are you going to do a straight shot, or are you going to take a rest?
Yeah, I think we're just going to switch off. Uh-huh. She says that when she would drive with her sister, that's what they would do. So I guess
that's the plan.
We're just driving in shifts, and that's the way it's going to be.
All right, so so if you have signal, we'll do a remote podcast. We'll try to nail it down so you can give us an update what's going on over there. If you don't have signal... You're gonna be MIA until you come back.
Yeah, you might not. I might be gone. It might be like Hills Have Eyes out there, and I've just disappeared. Who knows?
You're gonna come back believing in aliens. You're gonna see like a UFO land in a remote place.
I hope not. I mean, that's they said out there. They showed a picture of like Napoleon Dynamite's houses where there's one, you know, 3 miles down there. She's like, oh. We were watching it yesterday. She's like, oh, that's how it is at really? My grandma's place. And I just sunk down in my chair. Like, what am I getting myself into? But, yeah, hopefully just we're doing it for her so she can go see her family real quick while she's off on summer vacation. So.
That'll be fun. All right, guys. So that's this week's Sunday Nights program. Hopefully we'll hear from Curtis in the days to come.
All right. Bye, everybody.
All right. See ya.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.